Rockies 102.9, The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew exhilarates and quenches with its one-of-a-kind great taste. Mountain Dew, this is how we do.
Time to talk music news with a guy who has a head full of it. Music news, that is. Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. How are you?
We're fine.
That's good.
Yeah, it's a short week. You know, you had Labor Day weekend.
Football's back.
Football's back last night. We get a full slate on Sunday. Who do the Lions get?
The Lions have the Jets on Monday night.
Okay.
Eminem is the honorary team captain.
All right, so they're going to roll him out. So, yeah, everybody's getting all spiffed up for their first for the first week of the season. Did you watch last night?
Saw a nice kickoff thing on the field. You know, it's
Eagles-Falcons last night. Did you watch?
Yeah, it was a good game.
Okay. All right, there you go. All right, enough about sports. Let's get to the music news. And the big story is Aretha's funeral last week, and you were there.
I just got out, in fact.
You say that, but...
But, yeah, no, we knew last week it was going to be a marathon, and it certainly lived up to that. You know, eight hours and 45 minutes of service.
The first thing I heard, because they were monitoring all day long at news and listening to news in the car, is that it was running an hour and a half behind.
Yeah, it took a while.
Like right off the bat.
There was a lot of optimism in the scheduling of this, you know, as they posted the schedule and when they wanted to get started and everything. I think it was they were optimistic, let's put it that way. And then as soon as you saw everything that was going to be part of the ceremony, you knew that we weren't looking at a modest length service.
No.
And to his credit, the bishop even said at the beginning of the service that we're going to be here a while. You know, you don't celebrate the life of an icon in 2 hours. Apparently, you celebrate the life of an icon in nearly 9 hours.
Man,
so
did anyone get up and walk out?
By the time Stevie rolled around and Stevie Wonder and then Jennifer Holliday played, I would say we were looking at maybe a third of what we started with, which surprised me because everybody knew Stevie was coming. So you'd think they would hang around. But, you know, people have other things to do in their lives.
9 hours.
But, you know, a lot of people stuck through it, of course.
But you can't.
I think my favorite reaction online was I saw some posting saying Aretha's funeral has been renewed for a second season.
Oh, boy. You know, it's supposed to be a tribute to the woman. It just winds up being a snarky comment generator. That's wrong.
You know, in a way it is. I mean, I have no doubt Aretha would think that she merited this kind of treatment and this kind of commentary. And to be fair, the individual components were all pretty good. It's just there were so many individual components that some of it lost its luster. And, you know, but some of the speeches were wonderful and very heartfelt and very illuminating. Most of the performances were great. We still had a couple that, you know, of performers who still felt like the way to pay tribute to Aretha is to oversing and bust your lungs and do the things Aretha never did. You know, people never understood that, yeah, she was a big emotive singer, but that came naturally to her. That's who she was. And it wasn't oversinging, whereas, you know, when you heard Jennifer Hudson sing Amazing Grace, she didn't even know it was Amazing Grace by the time she got to the third or fourth line.
Aretha was a natural woman.
She was a natural woman. No, that's you know, well put.
Not an over-the-top woman.
No.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
I'll sing it how it should be sung.
And there was, you know, a week later, there are still some controversies raging about, you know, how short Ariana Grande's dress was. The preacher, the bishop's response to Ariana Grande, including, you know, let's just say an inappropriate embrace.
I never saw that embrace. How inappropriate was it?
It was noticeably inappropriate. Everything about his post-song comments to her, from telling her that when he first saw her name, he thought she was a new item on the Taco Bell menu, to grabbing, you know, to basically doing a side boob grab.
Really?
Up on, you know, which he has come out and said, you know, he did not intend to do. He's just a hugger, and that's what he does with parishioners. But the whole thing was, you know, off the hook inappropriate. The pastor who gave the eulogy, the 40-minute eulogies, taking some heat for his commentary.
Right, he kind of went off the rails on social issues, right?
It was interesting. I didn't have the same reaction to it that a lot of people have had, because I felt like, you know, first of all, you go to a Baptist service, and this is what the eulogists do. They use the deceased and the life of the deceased as a jumping off point to address larger issues,
okay.
Whether it's getting people back into church, which he did, whether it's community or political issues, which he did, you know, and they're always long. So it's kind of like this is what you knew was going to come. And I thought he actually did a decent job of keeping it focused on Aretha and using elements of her music and her life story to make the points he was making.
Okay, so you feel like he didn't go too far afield from honoring Aretha Franklin?
I didn't think so. A lot of people do, you know, but I thought he kind of, you know, he kind of kept it for the as on topic as you're going to be in a eulogy like that.
So how was your seat for this? Where were you sitting?
I was six rows behind the Michigan's governor. I was down, you know, down towards the front.
Okay, so you're lower bowl.
Lower bowl, yeah.
Okay, you weren't in the second tier.
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't isolated or anything else.
Some people had to stay for the whole 9 hours, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. And a couple hours before that, I was there to, you know, kind of check out the scene. And I'm sure you saw things about the fleet of pink Cadillacs that they
had
to escort her, which was walking up the street and seeing that was really something. That really was special. And then when I walked out, finally, at the end of it, a squad of, I think they were county deputies, rolled by on their motorcycles with sirens blazing, which I guess was the equivalent of a 21-gun salute,
yeah,
type of thing. So there were a lot of nice things about it and very heartfelt things about it. There were just a lot of them.
So you thought it was all okay for the most part, except for the Ariana Grande thing. It was just long.
There were other, you know, moments of inappropriateness. I felt like the bishop made a few inappropriate remarks. You know, this is not a comedy. This is, you know, levity needs to be taken lightly at something like this.
But yeah, if you just take any 11 hours of your day, how many inappropriate things come across your plate, you know?
That is going to happen.
So,
yeah, but your day isn't planned out like.
But it was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and it doesn't need to happen a second time ever.
Oh, man.
So you stayed there. You got there for the whole funeral, for the whole service. That's almost 9 hours, 2 hours before. So an 11-hour day at the church?
A little long, yeah, almost 12.
12-hour, and you were there for all of it. How many notebooks did you fill up with notes?
Yeah, enough for one notebook. You know, the nice thing about it being, it was being live streamed and broadcast on TV, so I just had the DVR running in case I needed to pick up a stray quote or two. So, you know, there wasn't that, you know, you wrote a lot, but didn't fill up notebooks.
You didn't go home and start the DVR, did you?
I went home and started eating.
Okay. How many bathroom breaks
there had
in
to
that?
Be intermissions or something.
You know, I did not take a single bathroom break myself, but
12 hours?
Yeah.
Oh.
Call me a camel.
No.
Wow.
No, camels just don't drink. They pee.
Okay.
It's a little thicker than yours and I. Yours and mine, but.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. You know, I mean, sitting 12 hours.
No way.
Wow.
No way.
I could never have done it.
Yeah.
Well, hats off to you.
Yeah, good work.
Well-trained bladder, you know.
Speaking of live streaming and Aretha's funeral being on TV and online, all that stuff, Paul McCartney's got a live streaming concert coming up today.
Yeah, tonight on YouTube. He's doing a show in a secret location in New York City. Of course, today his new album, Egypt Station, comes out, and he's been in New York pressing the media flesh. He was on Jimmy Fallon last night. So tonight, I think it's at 8 o'clock on YouTube on the Paul McCartney channel. And you'll hear plenty of new songs from Egypt Station, and you'll also hear, they promise, some Beatles, some Wings. You know, it'll basically be a Paul McCartney concert. And I guess it's a big Beatles day in New York, because they're also in Central Park at 10 a.m. this morning. They're going to be unveiling the John Lennon stamp, the commemorative forever stamp that we'll be able to buy starting, I think, next week. And it has two. There are two pictures they used, one from 1974 and one from 1971, both of which we're very familiar with. So you'll be able to start, you know, sending your letters with John Lennon on it pretty soon.
No, I bought the Mr. Rogers stamps when they came out.
Yeah, and if there are some folks here in Detroit who you'll be able to have an Aretha Franklin stamp maybe later this year or early next. That process was already started, apparently, to make her the first living person honored with a stamp. And I guess that got tied up in bureaucracy, but now it seems like an Aretha stamp is fait accompli. It's going to happen.
Well, on the other end, the less happy end of the spectrum, Slash and his wife finalized their divorce this week.
Yeah, that took a while, but Slash and his wife, who divorced 2 years ago, or who split up at least 2 years ago, finally finalized everything, and it was as you'd expect. It was all about money. You know, how much of, because he has only been enriched the past couple of years now that he's back touring with Guns N' Roses. So they came up with an equitable, settlement. The wife, Perla, gets $6.6 million plus $100,000 a month in spousal support and $39,000 per month in child support.
Wow.
She also gets their home in Las Vegas, a Range Rover, and two Mercedes.
Yeah, I heard about the vehicles. He gets to keep an F-150, right?
Right.
I don't know what kind it is.
The main thing is Slash gets to keep his guitars and all the rights to the songs he wrote. And they have a house in Beverly Hills, and he gets a Ford F-150, which is much more what Slash should be driving.
Yeah, that is a settlement right there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not even close to the biggest.
How much money there is in all this.
But it's not even close to the biggest, because Phil Collins, I think, has the two biggest divorce settlements ever, right?
He might. I know, McCartney had a big one. You know, you really have to go through these to see what these people wound up paying, or at least they say they wound up paying.
All right, Mick Jagger's tweeting about what, a new album?
Yeah, about new music. He went on, YouTube earlier this week and didn't really say much, but he just said, he just started playing harmonic. He had a picture of himself playing harmonica saying, "Hey, here I'm playing my new tunes." And of course there's been a lot of talk about the Rolling Stones recording a new album, their first since 2005, first of original material since 2005. They were working on an album of new material in 2015, and that became that blues covers album, Blue and Lonesome, which won a Grammy Award.
Steve Perry says, "I have no plans of getting back together with Journey." I don't know why he feels he has to tell us that all the time. When you decide to get back together with them, let us know.
Well, he's getting ready to release his new album next month, his first album in, I think, since before CDs almost. And, it's 24 years. And so people are asking, they're asking, so what about Journey? And, he basically has said no, that he has fully endorsed Arnell Pineda, saying he's a great singer, he's doing a great job, and he just wants to be Steve Perry. Somebody talked to Neil Sean, the guitarist, during last week as well, and he basically said, that as he has said for years, where the door is open, Steve can come back and can, we'd love to work with him again, but, in Neil Sean's case, he said, "I'm done pushing it. I'm not, it's got to be what Steve wants to do." And, listen, if Steve Perry did not want to sing with them at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction, I don't know when he's ever going to want to sing with them.
And since we just wrapped up, Labor Day came by, it's like the traditional end of summer. Billboard names the songs of 2018, summer of 2018.
Yeah, this happens every year. It's a big deal to do the songs of the summer, and inevitably it's all pop and hip hop. You've got "In My Feelings" by Drake, "I Like It" by Cardi B, "A Girl Like You" by Maroon 5, featuring Cardi B. She was big in the summer. Another song by Drake, "Nice for What," Juice, Post Malone, Ellie May. Ariana Grande had one with "No Tears Left to Cry," and a couple, Drake had three, Post Malone had two. So those were your songs of the summer.
All right, you happy?
So
with
that means summer's over then.
Well, it's we get the Labor Day. It's the unofficial end of the summer, as opposed to the September whatever day, September 21, right? Beginning of fall.
I guess
that would be the official.
Fall officially begins when the cider mills open. In my mind.
Okay. You know what? If that's when you want it to start, that's when it starts.
There it is.
That's fine. Thanks. All right, Gary.
Very good.
Well, thanks for the time this morning.
My pleasure. We'll talk next week. Go get some cider and donuts.
All right. Very good. We'll talk to you then.
Take care.
Gary Graff, our music guy.